Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. As we continue celebrating Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, we're learning more about various communities that call Chicago home. Last week, we focused on Native Hawaiian stories, and we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Hawaiian food. Ivan Lee opened Aloha Eats in 2004 with his dad, and it was one of the first Hawaiian restaurants in the city. We invited him on the show to tell us the story of their family business and all about the classics they serve. Ivan began with telling us how he and the family opened the restaurant.
Yeah, it was incredible. But my dad came up from Hawaii, came out of semi-retirement, and he had been in Chinese restaurants for a very long time, opened up a bunch of other restaurants, and really he decided to come out of semi-retirement. And I told him, you should be here with me in Chicago. I know Chicago. I had been in Chicago for about 4 years at the time.
Okay.
And there wasn't anyone really doing this sort of Hawaiian food, this subgenre of Hawaiian food. And we thought Chicago is an adventurous city. It would make sense for us to give it a go.
Yeah. Yeah. What were the first few months in this business like? Do you remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very clearly. It was hard. The sidewalks were torn up. They were rebuilding our part of Lincoln Park.
Oh, no.
And, you know, again, we're a complete unknown quantity to the people of Chicago. So, and we're a tiny slice. We're easy to miss. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of things really working against us.
Yeah. So how are we going to attract people?
Exactly. You know, and then slowly but surely, they started to be, you know, little newspaper articles. The Red Eye, it used to be that free paper in Chicago.
Yeah.
The Trib and the Sun-Times, everyone started putting out little things, and the word started getting out. And I remember our first big group was the Northwestern Hawaii Club.
Oh, really?
A lot of students who were homesick Hawaii folks who just needed a taste of home.
That's so
cool. You know,
cool.
And they came up, they filled up the restaurant, which, you know, to be fair, it only has about 20 seats in there.
So they filled it up.
They filled it up really easily, yeah. And it was a worthwhile trip. And, you know, it's a pattern that we keep seeing is that we have groups coming in from suburbs or, you know, even out of state or, you know, Great Lakes Academy. They'll come in a group, you know. And
what do they say when they come, or where do they say that they heard about you from? Is
oh,
it your
wow.
advertisements in the paper?
You know, I don't think it was actually the ads.
Word of mouth, maybe?
It's a lot of word of mouth. Yeah. I think especially for those who are with roots in Hawaii, they're the ones who hear it from someone else who heard it from someone else, right? Mm-hmm. Like the grapevine, you know, because
yeah.
This is, you know, I remember a time pre-Yelp. You know, you couldn't even find a lot of this stuff
right.
online to this sort of information.
So to that end, Ivan,
yeah.
you know, the scarcity, nobody really knew you yet. Did you find that you had to educate a lot of customers about Hawaiian food?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I still feel like we're probably still educating people. One of the most sort of common things that we get asked about is pineapple. Well, you put pineapple. What has pineapple on it? Do you have a pineapple burger?
Can you settle this for us? Because I know that you told our producers we're about more than so much more than just pineapple.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and it's because of the food waste. The people who immigrated into Hawaii for various reasons. A lot of time it was labor work. You have people coming in from all over the Pacific Rim, primarily Chinese, Japanese, Korean, but you also have people coming in from Portugal. You know, there's definitely a generational roots with the Portuguese and the Puerto Rican,
mm-hmm.
and everyone is living together. Everyone is, you know, making families together, talking.
Yeah.
The language has changed. We have Hawaiian pidgin, which is our sort of Creole, which is a mixture of a lot of different personalities of different languages, and that also is represented in the food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you find that you're dispelling at the same time, a lot of stereotypes.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, it was a major crop for Hawaii for a very long time, and that became the association. And of course, there's also the infamous Hawaiian pizza. No matter where you stand on it, it has painted people's expectations.
Yes.
So Hawaiian pizza was created by a Greek-born Canadian man. So
really,
yeah, absolutely. So
Hawaiian pizza's Canadian?
Yes.
I had no idea. I lived there for 20 plus years.
Yeah, so go figure. So you know, I learned this very recently myself, and you know,
my goodness,
I'll eat pineapple on a pizza, just don't call it Hawaiian.
I'm looking at your website right now, looking at this beautiful menu.
Yeah,
go back. How does this compare to the original menu? Has it evolved?
Yeah,
some?
A little bit. I mean, when we really want to do what we call Hawaiian plate lunch, that's the sort of subgenre that we do. It's very home style food.
Yeah, give me the origin story of plate lunch.
Yeah, so people on the pineapple plantations, the sugar plantations, and whatever labor sort of work, they're all sitting together, and they go, you know, they're having their own meals in their own parts of the camp or whatnot, and they see, oh, you know, that looks good. Can I have some of that? And it's just like, yeah. So it becomes kind of like a potluck almost. And people are sharing their foods and they're finding out that certain combinations might not be intended, but they taste really good together.
Yes. What is typically on that plate? I know rice is on there, right?
Yeah, rice is the staple, you know, just a nice sticky white rice. And then you have like classic picnic style macaroni salad. Like thick with mayonnaise, and sometimes it's a potato salad, sometimes it's a potato with mac salad. And then you have like a main meat entree of some kind, right? So a lot of teriyaki, a lot of katsu, which is like a schnitzel, if you want to think of it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, the different components we've all seen before and we've had before. Again, we just don't think about smushing them all together on one plate.
Mm-hmm.
And it does something.
Tastes fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's very heavy and wonderfully warming food in the winter here in Chicago, you know.
We call that comfort food.
It's comfort food. That's the word I was
yes,
groping for. Yes.
Comfort
absolutely.
Food.
Absolutely.
What are some good breakfast options in Hawaiian cuisine?
Breakfast options? I mean, you go to the McDonald's over there. They even have what's called Portuguese sausage. And
ooh.
Yeah, so it's like grilled slices of sausage. It's kind of spiced up. It's more similar to like a Filipino longaniza.
Okay.
But it's spiced more almost like an andouille sausage.
Okay.
So yeah.
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, just eggs with rice, and then I say copious amounts of soy sauce on top of that.
Talk about musubi.
Yeah, musubi. Let's see. So they say the origins may have come from the internment camp days of Japanese Americans, where they were making do with what they had. And they are kind of like a large block of densely packed white rice.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that is a grilled slice of spam. And then you usually want to wrap it in nori and maybe like a glaze of teriyaki sauce.
So wait, did you say spam?
Yeah, spam.
Is that how it became so popular?
World War II is where I can trace the roots back to with regards to that, because there was a lot of rationing going on the islands. It was a major protocol during the war, and there was a lot of no fishing either allowed in the waters, because I think there were fears of spies and whatnot. So there was a lot of things shut down, and spam was an available staple, and a lot of the GIs didn't like it, so they would trade it off for other things like fresh fruit. You know, so
who knew?
Yeah. No, absolutely no irony when we're selling spam in our restaurant. We're very sincere about it.
So I'm still gawking at your menu here. I'm excited to see saimin on there. It's a noodle.
Yeah, saimin. Mm-hmm. So it literally means thin noodles in Chinese.
Oh, okay.
And so it was, again, one of those things that from the plantation days, you know, someone had saimin and then someone would add something from another culture. And then you start having a mishmash of things, you know, kind of a gingery shrimp broth. You know, you can find saimin at, again, almost any place in Hawaii, you know, even though it's the hot weather, it's very good comfort food.
So it's like a thin noodle and then like
a
broth type soup
dish. And you can have like Chinese barbecue char siu pork on there, or, you know, scallions. And eggs.
I don't eat pork, so do you have options for me?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways to prepare it, and everybody does it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
But essentially, yeah, it's pretty accessible.
Now, poke.
Poke. We do not do poke.
Why?
I think that just wasn't our specialty. Poke is raw fish. I feel like to really have that great poke experience, you need to be closer to where you're going to be able to get it fresh.
Okay.
And so there is a quality issue. And also, it just wasn't very popular at the time.
Yeah. Are other Hawaiian restaurants doing that? Or is it sort of a similar thought where let's kind of keep it at home,
I think there are poke places or places where you can get poke in Hawaiian restaurants, but I haven't explored that too much. And you know, here on the mainland, they also do it in kind of a different way than what we do back home in Hawaii. So
it always gets remixed.
It does get remixed.
Someone who's from another country, I'll.
Yes, absolutely.
I would agree.
Absolutely, you go with what's available. You know, and that's part of the foodway experience, I think.
Well, you certainly come a long way with Aloha Eats. I mean, what is it like for you, Ivan, just reflecting and knowing your family's restaurant that you started back with your dad? It's been in business now for over 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we told our father, you know, we let him know that this was his legacy. He had so many different attempts at different restaurants for a very long time, and this was his first Hawaiian plate lunch place. And we really think he knocked it out of the park. You know, I mean, my sister is now running it, and she's done such a fantastic job. And you know, you don't get to 21 years without a lot of support from the community either.
That's right.
A big part of it. You know?
What are you most proud of? Is it that growing community support?
Yeah, you know, I think it's giving people a sense of comfort when they're far from home.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because I remember a time when a customer came in and they were like, oh, I never see Kama'aina, and, you know, I haven't had this food in forever. And almost right after she said it, a bunch of other customers came in who had roots in Hawaii, and they all started talking story, you know? And it was like really magical moment.
That's
where
so
people
special.
Can make that connection, where they're like, oh, yeah, I'm from Hawaii. Oh, yeah, I'm also stuck on the mainland because whatever, X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And people find comfort in that. People find comfort in food. Food brings community.
And in sharing those stories in your establishment, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And to see it happen in real time is
amazing.
It's
a safe space.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I wish we were bigger so that we could have a stage and, you know, people could come and perform and have, you know, big luau's and whatnot.
That's the next iteration.
We'll try and see what we can do.
And as we alluded to before, I mean, you are not the only Hawaiian restaurant in town anymore.
Yeah.
We are a long way from that. To name a few, there's the Filipino-Hawaiian Bodega Kanin in Ravenswood, which opened recently. AO Hawaiian Hideout in the South Loop. Aloha Wagon in Pilsen. That one was started by Rebecca, who's a Mexican-American, and her husband, Richard, was born in the Philippines and raised in Hawaii. They met while they were working on a cruise ship in Hawaii. We talked with Rebecca, and she says that after 3 years of operating a lunch wagon in Oahu, they decided to come back to Chicago and, quote, "Local Hawaiian food is what happens when you combine the best of different cultures with the aloha spirit." She said in 2017, Aloha Wagon opened up their first location in Chicago as a brick and mortar at 2023 Southwestern Avenue. Introducing Hawaiian food to the south side of Chicago was challenging, but we believe location does not make the restaurant successful. The food does. You agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've seen a couple of little Hawaiian restaurants come and go, and you know, you have to have consistency.
Yeah.
And you have to have quality. You have to change your menu sometimes, and that's what we've done on occasion.
You have to adapt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's been good that we have, and here we are.
That's how you get longevity, right?
Exactly that.
That's Ivan Lee. He's founder of Aloha Eats in 2004. You can stop by at 2534 North Clark Street in Lincoln Park. Thank you, Ivan.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. Here on the show, we invite you to travel around Chicago with us by way of conversations about the Chicago food scene. To learn about all the places to eat and hear their stories, subscribe to the show or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again on Monday.
name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely